Now, Henge, as we call it, again, code.
C-O-D-E.
Let's do Henge. You know, baffled looks in the audience. You know, what are they going to do? And then stage crew, what are they going to do? Let's do Henge. You see, I'll whisper to the lads. You know, and we, Henge, we'll go Henge. We all know that it's going to be Stonehenge, you see, without having to say Stonehenge. Now, this was really a dream. This came to me in a dream. My ancestors really came from a druidic background, and either it was druidic or they just liked wearing those hoods. We really didn't know if it was a fashion sort of a thing or not, but my grandfather and great-grandfather up in the north would wear hoods and do these little ceremonies where they would do burn sticks and take a rock and throw it at their heads. And we used to think, you know,
drink quite a bit.
And we used to think, well, of course they're mad, you know, but they were really druidic in how they were fashioning their lives. So Stonehenge was really an anthem, if you will, to my ancestors who have, you know, very mysterious beginnings. And Stonehenge, once again, a metaphor for life, it's a piece of stone with a piece on the top and the sides where you can walk through it, but you can also come back, can't you?
You can go around it,
yeah. But you can also look up. I do a mandolin bit in it, and that's sort of my northern sort of background coming in again, you know, even a little bit of Irish sort of, you know, influence, and we feel that's a really important part of music.
The thin strings.
Yeah, again, bass being real thick strings, going to mandolin, tiny, tiny. So I go, let's do the TT song, that's the tiny, tiny strings, they know. Once again, C-O-D-E.
No, it just occurs to me that we're giving our code away to anyone.
We're going to get new code.
We'll get new code.
That's a great idea.
New code.
Yeah.
We'll change the next show.
So, that's something to work on.
Right.
New code. Yeah.
customer.
You get to South Bend a lot?
No. This is not our album. This is Train Sounds.
Well, I listen to a lot of that, too.
It's kind of part of the deal that, you know, it's you bring us our records to get your autograph on. There's plenty of them.
Well, I already have all of yours.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And I intend to play this at the same time. And
great.
Listen to them both at once. I do that.
If you buy the
when my parents
one,
go
yeah.
out of town.
Or your audio buff.
Well, my parents have a stereo and I have one. And when they go out of town for transfusion, I put both on at once.
That's and great.
Something wrong with
you would like it.
Are they ill?
No, they just, every 6 months or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Get the blood
my
washed?
My father's a mechanic.
Yeah.
And he says it's the same thing for an automobile. But I don't know.
So it's sort of physiological. There you
yeah.
go. I mean, he's got a point
there. It's a huge decibel kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I'll come back to South Bend sometime.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We will. Load of rubbish, that.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
It doesn't play them together.
When people read books, do they?
It doesn't play them together.
Our first single as Spinal Tap, yes. You know, we had been the Thamesmen and we had been the Dutchmen and we had been
the originals,
Flame and Damons and the we had
the new originals,
regulars. Yeah, we'd had a lot of names over the years, but that's the one we found that stuck. And the record company didn't like it. It was Megaphone, I believe.
Yeah.
They said, no, it sounds too harsh, and it's a very lush song. Flower People's a very lush, sort of gentle song. That's what it's
wasn't
about.
60s enough as a name for the band, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it was 1967.
That's
that was
right.
A weird part.
How 60s could it be?
This is not 60s enough. It was, what bloody year is it? It was 1967. Yeah. How could we be anything but? So they said, no, it sounds like more like rude and sort of like, you know...
Painful.
Crass. Yeah, painful. Yeah. Yeah, painful. And it is, you know. Bless it. And so we said, no, look, that's the name of the group, that's what we're going to call ourselves. And they said, all right, threw up their hands, and they put out the record. It was a huge mega hit all over the world.
Well, as I understand it, I mean, because it was a fad in those days for, like, misspelling words, you know, and band names, and we actually thought that we'd misspelled Spinal, and then...
Yeah, we thought it was S-P-Y, right?
No, we thought it's supposed to be SPY, let's be clear.
Right, yeah.
Let's call it SPI, and then we found out later
that we spelled it right by mistake.
Yeah.
Again, a mistake.
Yeah.
You know something? We've got a theme here. It's not an anthem, but it's a theme.
Yeah.
And that is...
It's a motif.
It's a motif. It all happens by accident. It's all one big mistake. That's our career.
That's life, though.
That's
life.
Life
is one big mistake.
And our career as a metaphor for life
is
one big long mistake. And I think...
code for life.
That's
actually.
Code, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the fans know this, you know. I think they know
that's
this.
That's why they cherish us, I think.
Yeah, they look at their tickets, they look up at us, and they say, what a bloody mistake.
Thank you very much. You know, we're old enough here. We're old enough up here to have been born in many of your parents. Although we're looking out here, we wouldn't admit to it, right? Fuck the apple!
Thank you. Thank you very much. You'd like to thank you all for coming. Thank you very much. We're going, we're going back in time a little bit here. This is one of our more famous numbers. In a very short set. We hope you enjoy it. We're going to try to wag our way through it. We've only rehearsed once in the past 3 years. Thank you.
This is Nilford, where I grew up. This is my dad, Donald Duff Smalls. Say hello to him, Dad. There he is. He's got to concentrate on driving, I should hope. After the Japanese tour kind of collapsed, came back home to assess my prospects. And before I could really do any deep assessing, Dad had his little hernia problem at the time, didn't you, Dad? Yeah, a bit painful, wasn't it? Yeah. So he had to go into hospital, and he'd always taken me about on his route. We're in his van right now, the telephone sanitizing business that he has, called Sanifone. And he'd always taken me about on his route, teaching me the route and the technique. Slowly, I think the realization dawned on people that they could go round to the store, get a bit of toweling in it, and just a spray bottle or something bluish, and really do the same thing for about a tenth of what we were charging them. In the old days, it was mainly lovely young women who would come to sanitize your telephones, and it may well have been more that the attraction of them tromping into your house every week than the fear of germs, really, that kept the business alive.
Good as new.
But Dad's one of the few who's still in the business, and I'm very proud of him. You proud of me?
Yes.
Yes.
Great many of our songs begin with a mistake that one of us makes trying to play another song. You know, we're trying to play something and, you know, just like make a mistake. And
wrong
what's
chord,
a wrong
key,
chord, yeah.
Wrong
and someone chord. Will say, wait a minute. That's great. Let's
it used
do that.
To be a mistake.
That's right.
Idea.
Yeah.
So really,
I suppose you can say we've turned mistakes into, well, not necessarily gold, I suppose, but
we take
brass,
lemons.
Brass.
We take lemons and make them into lemon juice.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
And then we add water.
And
not literally, of course.
Yeah.
You know, one week, one of the mates will say, "Well, I don't have my instrument." So.
And we'll know what he means.
Yes. Meaning he's
like code.
It's a code.
Code means he doesn't have his
meaning it doesn't, he didn't bring it.
Bring it
yeah.
Bring it.
And then, so the arrangement of the song really is dictated in a sense by a forgotten instrument.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One guitar instead of two,
yes.
Or no bass.
Right.
You, Derek forgot his chord one week, so he just played on his electric bass, just acoustically.
Yeah.
But it was
quite loud.
We
and
mic'd
limited.
It. And limited, and then it expanded light. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So things
it just got a very strummy sound out of it.
Strummy bass.
Again, sound. A mistake turned into, you know,
another mistake.
Yeah.
But that's the way all great career. You know, you read about like Michelangelo. He didn't really start out to paint the whole bloody ceiling of the place. He was just going to do.
He was doing a patch job.
That's
yeah.
Right.
He
just got carried away.
Just plastering a bit.
Yeah. He said, "Hey, it looks good.
Put a cherub up here."
Yeah.
Right.
And then he just started, you know. Oh,
which
whoop,
is
wrong cherub. And then,
yeah.
And he had to re-cherub.
That's right. Big bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom.
Well, another anthem, really.
It's really an
it's
anthem.
It's an anthem.
You know, it's really an anthem. And it's about, it's really where this band, you know, says, well, right, you know, every band in the world can, you know, put two guitars and a drummer and a keyboard player and a bass player on a stage, but how many of them can put three or sometimes four basses on stage cranking just super loud
all over the track,
just
just at the bottom of the track,
just saturating the lower half
all
of
us
had hearing.
Been all of us had been great admirers of reggae music, and we all agreed that, you know, they all had
it's
this great kind of throbbing, like pounding bass. It made the finest stereo system sound like it was broken. That's how great
these bass parts were. Right. So we just put as much bass as we could on this one. Yeah. Hopefully too much.
It's also...
Oh, it is too much.
I think it should be too much. Yeah. And it's also a sort of an ode to women, I suppose. The love that we feel for
now,
the...
I don't
feel there's anything sexist about it, you know.
We are, said there was?
Oh, I've heard this.
Oh, yeah,
not
sure.
directly, because people are really...
They're scared of it.
Yeah, they're frightened.
Who says it?
Women. Yeah, of course. Right.
Women,
you know. Women will say it's sexist, but aside from women, who says it is what I like to know. Yeah. So it's really
an
ode.
That just proves our point.
Exactly.
That's
right.
I'm concerned.
So it's really our love for those creatures of the smaller version.
And the lower, smaller
and
version.
And the bigger part
and
of their smaller
just,
version.
Yeah.
Below the
lower
middle section of their person.
There's something about...
They say, you know, like you're hitting below the belt, and we say, well,
exactly.
you know,
that's the point.
So what?
Right, right. You are.
Isn't that exactly what... Exactly,
You got it.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's also fun to play the bass because the strings are fat. And, you know, I look at playing a lot of times as a tactile sort of experience, and once in a while in a set we'll go, let's do the fat string number and let's code again, and everyone knows it's Big Bottom coming up.
Is that a long way of saying let's do Big Bottom?
Yeah.
It's long
and
code.
Yet short because it's a code.
That's right.
Well, sometimes we just go CODE and we all know
that's code.
That's code, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Or let's go to the code.
Yeah, right.
Next thing I say.
That's right. Go to the code, right, exactly.
COD, that's our code.
Sometimes we're too clever, right?
By half.
Yeah.
We wrote a song about, you know, throats one time. You know, girls with pretty throats. It just wasn't the same thing. I mean, it had no rhythm. It was like, you know, there was no, like, movement to it.
Didn't have a hook.
Know? No, no
hook.
There's
no hook to girls with pretty throats, you know.
We tried.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. I can't even remember it now. Anyway.
It was terrible. It wasn't good.
I remember that.
You know what it was? It was we did it during our sort of like what would you call it? Mecco pop era. It was rather grim era. We tried to put it. It never even got released.
We got experimental, you know, which was not us.
It's not us.
We're not really not an experimental band. You know, we're a traditional. Basic, you know, bring it home, bring home the groceries, bring home the groceries,
put them away,
fold up the bags,
and use them next time.
Right, and then put them on the table later.
Right,
that's the kind of band we are.
You know, it's funny how a business does a thing. In the early 80s, I was with Polymer Records, that's the Spinal Tap label. We released everything on Spinal Tap. And I worked the record. I was the promotion man in the Chicago area. I worked the record hard. It was a great record. It was a tough record. It was a great record. Tough record to work, but it was a great record. Smell the glove. But beyond working and promoting, we had a tight relationship. We would hang. We would rock, really. We would rock in the evenings. We would get a limo. Somehow I got taken off the project. I don't know. I was fired from Polymer, really. They let me go. I don't know why they let me go. Sexual harassment is what they told me. There was no harassment. There was no sexual. There was a cute secretary there, Barbara. I was really just trying to give her some insight into what it takes to be in this business that we call record promotion. It's a tough business. What did I? For whatever reason, sexual harassment, whatever. They let me go from Polymer. Here I am, 10 years later. I'm over here in Australia. I'm programming VM over here. You know VM, Video Magic. The video hits all video channel. 24, almost over 22, a good 22 hours of programming a day now are happening. We're on all the major, we're in a lot of the, we're in some of the markets over here in Australia. And as executive programmer, I'm not playing the video, bitch school. I won't play the Spinal Tap video because I believe it's sexist. Isn't it funny how the business does a flip?
So fucking loud!
Well, I can hear you a lot better in here.
Okay. Now look, wait. We gotta talk about the gate, all right?
The gate is great. We sold out the entire audience.
Well, how come I don't get anything over the guarantee?
Woo! record. Do what you want. I sold these tickets at a discount of 60%, that money is mine.
Hey, you're getting too emotional.
Judy!
And you're going to give me all I get from that. You're going to give my band that percentage. You know what this is? It's a bat. It ain't a baseball bat. It's got edges on it. Okay?
You trying to intimidate me?
No, I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm just trying to get my money. Okay?
True. Would you play a song for us, please?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have in mind?
Well, we thought we'd go way back in the memory bin.
Okay.
Which we have backed up to the alley here.
Yeah.
And we're going to do... This is actually the first tune we recorded as the Thamesmen.
Yeah.
And we released it, nothing happened. We went to Amsterdam and became the Dutchmen. And then we came back home as the Dutchmen and found that the single started to climb the charts.
Ah,
as the Thamesmen.
Yeah, and we changed the name back to the Thamesmen.
Right,
it peaked and it was over with. So. But anyway, we've always sort of liked it, and it's called Give Me Some Money.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Stop wasting my time. You know what I want. You know what I need. Oh, maybe you don't. Do I have to come right flat out and tell you everything? Give me some money. Give me some money. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm nobody's fool. I'm nobody's clown. I'm treating you cool. I'm putting you down. But baby, I don't intend to leave empty-handed. Give me some money. Give me some money. Oh, yeah.
Go, Nigel, go.
Don't get me wrong.
Give me some money.
Try getting me right.
Give me some money.
Your face is okay, but your purse is too tight.
Give me some money.
Now I'm looking for pound notes, loose change, bad checks, anything. Give me some money. Give me some money. Give me some money.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. I've been in this chair for over 10 years, and that is one of the finest I've heard. You can tell
Thank
how
you.
Tight the band has been, from the Thamesmen to the Dutchmen to the Thamesmen, and now the Spinal Tap version.
Have you really been sitting in that chair for
you
all
must
that
have time? Sores. I never go home.
You must have
I never
sores, sweating,
think of the sweat.
Yeah.
But think of the service I get.
Just sing just it. Sing you all know how it goes.
Just, it's 2 minutes, Tom.
You sung it as kids.
I know, so roll just, it. Just roll it.
Rolling. He's rolling now.
Okay.
We three kings of Orient are...
No, if you want to wait for the beat, you know.
You just stop.
No, we do it as a round. Wait after three, okay? We'll go one, two, three.
We three kings of Orient.
You see, you've got to come... It was two.
It was a beat of three.
I think
we should... We should start all together and then break off.
Why are you wearing
we,
that?
We, one, two, three.
We three kings.
No, all together then. One, two, three.
We three kings of Orient are smoking on a rubber cigar. It was loaded and exploded. That was the end of one king.
We three kings.
I don't know the second verse.
Love of light and beams of light.
I don't know that part.
Never further than the beams of light and beams of kings. That's good enough.
I've never heard that second bit.
That's it, it's done.
Thank you.
I think this is going to be something very, very exciting. Our next guests are back together after a very, very long hiatus. This is their brand new album right here entitled Break Like the Wind. It's already an unbelievably huge success. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome one of Britain's loudest bands, Spinal Tap. For commercial, and then we'll chat with these gentlemen. Come on back, folks. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Paul. Welcome back. Final Tap is here. You guys sounded more powerful than I remember you actually sounding.
Really?
Let's talk a little bit about the, this is your brand new album.
Yeah, it's a CD, actually.
Oh, yeah, CD. Yeah.
No, I mean, you could call it an album. We've never had a CD before.
Congratulations.
I mean, it's been 8 years.
We've never been digital.
No.
And the name of the song we heard, I guess, was Bitch School.
Bitch School. Yeah.
Are there some controversy with that song?
Yeah, it's nonsense, though. I mean, there's really no reason for it.
Well, some people have said, some women have said that it's...
And men.
And that it's offensive, but they don't realise if you listen to the words, it's about dogs.
It's all about
dog training. Yeah,
dog training.
Discipline in the dog world.
Yeah.
Well, people love dogs.
Yeah, of course you do. People hear sometimes what they want to hear.
That's exactly right.
Now tell me about the cut number 11, Clam Caravan. What is that about?
Oh, that's his.
Yeah. Clam Caravan.
That's a misprint. It's supposed to be Calm Caravan.
There's no clams in the song.
No mention of shellfish of any kind.
It's a typo, then.
It's a typo.
Well, it won't ruin the album or anything.
No.
It's doing very well for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, has it been 8 years that you guys were apart? How did you get back together? Why did you get back together? How was that?
Well, it's a sad story. I mean,
not really.
We met, basically we met up at the funeral of our manager, Ian Faith.
Late. Yeah. You think that's funny too, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, actually it was.
And it was one of the happiest places you've ever seen in your life. For a funeral.
Yeah. No one liked him.
Yeah, laughing, people laughing and jumping around.
What did he die of, exactly?
It was sort of an exploded blood vessel somewhere near his face.
Well, on the coroner, actually, on the coroner's report, it said embezzlement.
Cause of death, embezzlement.
So that good feeling from the funeral, we were running by the coffin and flicking his nose.
Yeah. Can you give us an idea of what you guys did? Were you in music individually? Did you have your own records out? Or what kind of things did you do in those 8 years?
Well, I was managing some local bands back in Pomona, California. I've been living in California, Southern California. Yeah. Wonderful new trio called Meconium. Watch out for Meconium. They're going to be very hot. Meconium? Next year's Nirvana, yeah. And I've also been teaching soccer to five-year-olds. Almost nothing to do with music. But,
I've been doing some inventing. I've got a little inventing shed in the country.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I've been working on a folding wine glass.
Yeah.
You see, there are four sides and they fold down. So you can put it in your pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for like picnics?
Well, it's not perfect for anything because it leaks.
No, I see. Other than that, and I tell you, Derek, can we chat with you in just a second?
Usual
here? All right, hang on. We'll do a commercial. We'll be right back here with this final. Right, let's see. April 20th, you gentlemen will be performing at Wembley Stadium in London.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Part of the Freddie Mercury tribute. Yeah, we're doing one song. We negotiated up from no songs. That was their first offer. And
very shrewd. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am that you guys could stop by and see us here tonight. Good luck. Thank you for being with us. Spinal Tap, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye bye.
Thank you very much. We'd like to close out this abbreviated set. Thank you for your very kind attention, sir, and your most fond memories as well. Some of you older folks out there.
The song we're going to do now is, this tune is one of our oldest songs we've ever done. You probably never heard it. It's done as a demo in a basement somewhere in London.
Everywhere
in London. And, this was co-written. It's sort of a, thank you, it comes as sort of a dream to me one night, and I said it. Thank you. And what more can I say? We hope you enjoy it.
working on a sex farm, trying to raise some hard love, strings for dee da 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 dee da, that kind of thing.
With this Christian rock band, Lamb's Blood. Went and rode in the States for a couple of years, all through these tents, and played the Monsters of Jesus Festival, very successful.
This is not my regular office. This is just a temporary situation. I'm waiting for an office to open up in the building, and I'm like very high up on the waiting list. You know, I know the guys in Spinal Tap have been a little upset with me about what they feel was a hatchet job, you know, done on This is Spinal Tap, you know. But I'm doing pretty well. I did a feature after Spinal Tap was finished. I did Kramer versus Kramer versus Godzilla, which was, it didn't work as well as I thought it would. I thought the juxtapositions of the, you know, the Sturm und Drang of, you know, which parent is going to get the child, you know, with Godzilla looming, you know, over all of them, you know, like maybe the Godzilla's going to get the child, you know, and that I thought would be interesting, but it turned out the audience didn't take to it as well as I thought they would.